Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
James chapter 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets, who spoke in the name of the Lord, as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death, and cover a multitude of sins.
Signs are everywhere of the coming of the Lord, and it won't be long, he'll be coming back. I can hear that whistle blow on the train of judgment now, and I can see that event still coming down the tracks. Are you prepared to ride that train back? The Lord is coming soon. Left behind.
Lesson 222, The Lord's Coming is Near. In our last lesson, we learned about the fruit which pride produces and how sometimes this is seen among Christians who quarrel, lust after the world, tolerate sin, or display prideful confidence in their future plans. Today we will finish our study of James and consider the consequences of the Lord's soon return. This chapter can be divided into three sections. The first section speaks about the Lord's coming judgment against injustices, and the next section about how to live patiently in view of the Lord's soon return. The final section is dealing with Christian integrity and spiritual restoration for those who are under God's chastening. James first tackles the problem of injustices against the poor believers from their rich employers who fail to pay their proper wages. These people are said to heap up riches for themselves, but their riches are corrupted and will be eaten up and rusted away. The life of pleasure will soon fade as their flesh is destroyed. This is how people will indulge themselves before the Lord returns, not caring for the poor around them, but living for themselves in pleasure. But the Lord is listening to the cries of His people who have not been given their fair wages. The riches tend to oppress the poor, taking advantage of their hard labor, while not sharing their wealth with these who work for them. This selfish lifestyle is condemned by the Lord and will soon bring about His judgment on such wickedness. To the Christian brothers, James said they should bear patiently until the Lord comes to execute His justice. The farmer must wait patiently for his crops to come, and after the early and latter rain, at last his waiting is rewarded. The suffering Christian needs to realize that while waiting patiently for the Lord to come, He will come soon and bring His reward with Him. Meanwhile, the Christian should be established in his heart and not feel a grudge towards others who seem to have more. He reminds us of the patience of Job and how, in the end, the Lord blessed him more than at the beginning. The Lord is compassionate and of tender mercy toward His suffering children. This world can be a very difficult place for the Christian who is trying to live for God when he sees others seeking money and pleasure in this world. The Christian needs patience to endure the evils of the world while remaining faithful to the Lord and waiting for His coming. James also speaks about Christian integrity. Our words are not to have any hint of deceit. We are to let our yes be yes and our no be no. This means Christians should not swear any oaths. We cannot swear oaths because we cannot make guarantees, since we don't know what a day may bring forth. We are not to swear by heaven or earth or by anything else. We can simply agree or disagree, and by God's grace keep our word with honesty and integrity. Sometimes the courts ask a person to swear an oath, to tell the truth, but the Christian can be exempted from this by simply asking to provide an affirmation of the truth. Most courts are willing to do this because of Christian convictions about swearing oaths. Now James moves on to talk about restoring a brother who has fallen sick, likely due to some sin he has committed. The reason we think the sickness relates to sin is because of how James addresses this particular case of sickness. He says the person who is sick should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will heal the sick, and his sin will be forgiven him. This situation is not typical for any illness that a Christian faces, but is specifically related to his spiritual life and sin. That is why the elders are called to pray over him and anoint him with oil. There is no magic in the oil, and it was commonly used medicinally at the time James was writing. An individual may sense that the Lord is chastening them with a certain illness due to a sin in their life, and for this reason they recognize their need for spiritual intervention, confession to the elders, and their prayers of faith for healing. We should not take this to mean that every time we pray in faith, we can heal any disease. That would be a wrong handling of this passage and lead to harmful spiritual application. Besides dealing with restoring a sick brother, Christians are to pray for the afflicted and use psalms as a way to express joy in the Lord. We are to confess our faults to one another and pray for one another. It is humbling to confess our faults, but this can help us live in good spiritual health. Prayer is vital in the life of the believer, and we are reminded that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man has much power. The example of Elijah is provided as he had prayed that it would not rain, and for 3.5 years there was no rain in Israel. Then he prayed again for rain, and the rain came. The power of our prayers comes from the righteous way in which we walk before the Lord. Elijah was made of the same flesh we are, but he walked close to God and was able to affect great power in prayer as he sought to serve God and be his witness to a wicked generation. Christians are bound to sin, and when they do, how kind of a Christian brother to come alongside and convert him from his sinful behavior. When we in love help to restore a fallen brother to Christ, we save his soul and hide a multitude of sins. The salvation spoken of here is not the salvation from the penalty of sin, for only Christ can pay the price for our sins. However, when Christians fall into sinful practices, they need to be restored to the Lord and fellowship with the Lord's people. To rescue a soul from the damages of sin is to save them from the Lord's chastening and the consequences of continued sin. We are all prone to fall into sin, so we need to have compassion on fellow believers, not seeking to shame them when they are ready to confess and forsake their sin. Be careful when dealing with another's sin, remembering that you too are just as likely and probably just as guilty of sin. The remedy for our sin is to trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He can offer a full and free pardon from the judgment of God against our sin. But we also need His daily grace to help us in the battle against sin, since we all face temptation to sin throughout our time in this world. James presents us with teaching on practical wisdom, concluding this letter with a message of salvation. I hope you have accepted God's free gift through faith in Jesus Christ. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James chapter 5, verse 16.
Come and fill our homes with your presence. You alone are worthy of our reverence. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learn that the Lord will return to bring justice to those who have been oppressed by the rich. And though poor Christians may have to suffer for a time, they should be patient and wait for the Lord's return when they will be rewarded. We also learn the need to show integrity, be prayerful, and restore an erring brother. Someone might ask the question, when is it right to use anointing oil for healing the sick? There is definitely some dangers associated with anointing with oil to heal the sick, as mentioned in this final chapter of James. The reason for this danger is the tendency for some Christians to think that this is a sure method of offering healing to the sick. However, as discussed in the lesson today, we saw how the anointing oil was not just for any particular sickness or a sure means of healing the sick. The problem mentioned had to do with an individual involved in some sinful behavior that had been brought about by the chastening of the Lord, and thus some related sickness. The person, realizing they were suffering as a consequence of their sin, was to call for the elders and have them pray over him and anoint him with oil. The prayer of faith is what would bring about the healing and not the anointing oil, as is clearly stated. Also, the fact that the sinner had confessed to the elders his sin and was asking for healing and forgiveness brought about a spiritual healing, which was more important than even the physical healing. We must always remember that our greatest sickness is the sickness within our soul, which is alienated from God due to our sin. Thus, our greatest need is the forgiveness for our sins, so we can be restored in relationship to God and have fellowship with His people. That being said, the anointing with oil may have been a way of expressing faith, or could have also had some medicinal properties. Oil was often used as a medicine to pour into wounds for healing, so it would not have seemed unusual to Christians of the first century to make use of oil when seeking the healing of someone who was sick. Anointing oil is therapeutic, so we might simply see this as a practical part of the elders ministering to the brother who was not feeling well. Today we have churches using healing oil for all kinds of sicknesses, and even selling oil for a profit. This is a perversion of the practice mentioned here in the Bible. The application of oil in the healing of a church member was something that was initiated by the person who was sick, and not something the church was to administer for profit. We must also recognize that God does not intend the immediate healing of every sickness. We can learn this from the Scriptures, for God often has a purpose in allowing His children to endure a season of suffering or sickness. We realize that sometimes sickness is intended to humble a person or to teach them. Sometimes sickness is simply God's way of calling a Christian home to heaven. Sometimes sickness is a test to prove our faith and make us stronger. Then there are times when sickness is intended to bring glory to God by God's grace shining in the believer even when sick. Sometimes we cannot discern God's particular reason for suffering and sickness. When a child dies in a car accident or from cancer, we have a difficult time understanding why God would allow this. However, we must remember that God does not always owe us an explanation, and He also does not owe us a long and prosperous stay in this world. Every day of life in this world is a gift from God, for which we can be thankful. Even if our days on earth are filled with sorrow and pain, it is still God's gift to grant us life, so that we have the opportunity to know and trust in Him. Therefore, when it comes to seeking healing, we must remember that God will often permit sickness and does not always intend to heal, at least not at present. So anointing with oil and praying for the healing of the sick should be administered when it is understood that there is a relationship between the person's sin and the sickness they are suffering from. We can always ask God to heal someone, but we must be ready to accept if God does not intend for them to be healed in answer to our prayers. The danger is that some Christians have been told that if they just have enough faith, then God will heal them. However, that may discourage them and their trust in God when their prayers remain unanswered. Let us not be guilty of trying to invoke healing where God does not intend to heal. We must learn to be content with the condition God has placed us in and humbly accept sickness as part of a fallen creation and our sinful condition. It would be wonderful if we could see all diseases healed miraculously through prayer and anointing, but that is not biblically supported and has been the cause of much discouragement to the faith of those who suffer. Many people in the Bible are left with illness and disease who were godly people, such as the Apostle Paul, who suffered with eye problems, and Timothy, stomach problems. God did not heal them, for He had purposes in their suffering. Perhaps He also has a purpose for you to be sick or suffer. So don't be angry with God, but thank Him for His grace bestowed in your life. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus, son, we with a stranger, wandering from the home of God, need to rescue me from danger, interpose His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great I am.
If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believers Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee. These are the days of your servant David rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are as wide in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard declaring the word. Jubilee, and down.